Chapter 36. Jesse was looking at the L.A. Dodgers Classics calendar on the wall to the right of the window behind his desk. The photo for the month of September was of Sandy Koufax, hands above his head in the midst of his windup, Willie Mays at the plate, awaiting the pitch. Jesse paid no mind to the photo. Instead, he counted the days until he and Diana had to leave for Dallas. Only two to go. Nearly a month had passed since his meeting with Hunsicker and Kahan in New York. Labor Day had come and gone. The kids in town were back at school, and life in paradise had settled into a familiar pre-autumn rhythm. The trees were hinting at their coming turn. Daylight hours were being gently squeezed out by invading darkness and the wind that blew a tad chillier than it had the day before or the day before that. Healy had stopped by the office a few times to check on progress in the case and just to talk. Retirement was going to be hard on a lifer like Healy, but at least his wife was responding well to the treatment and medication the cardiologist had prescribed. "How's the golf game?" Jesse asked the last time Healy had come in. "Hopeless. Fall can't get here too soon, so I can give it up." Otherwise, it had been a quiet month. Very quiet. Too quiet for Jesse's liking. He trusted calm up to a point, but that point had come and gone. Mostly it was the waiting that was getting to him. There'd been some news from Dallas. Kahan had found a few men fitting Pieper's general description, who had worked or were working for the company scheduled to do catering for the wedding week events. He'd had them followed at safe distances, had looked into their backgrounds. So far, they had all checked out. Jesse hoped like hell that none of Kahan's prying had tipped Peepers off to the fact that they were onto him. Two of these catering employees were fired or quit. One left town. "Not uncommon with these types of jobs," Kahan said. "Lots of turnover. I don't think that's how he's coming at her." "However he comes at her, he'll do it in front of me. That's the point. He'll want me to watch."
"Then why come and give him the satisfaction?"
"You know the answer to that. If I don't come, no one will be safe, Jen and your boss included, no matter how good you are at your job."
"Are you sure he knows you're coming?"
That was a good question. Frankly, Jesse had expected to hear from Peepers by now. Where, he wondered, was the taunting letter or photo? Just as Jen had sent him an invitation, Jesse was sure that Peepers would have sent one of his own by now. It worried Jesse that maybe Peepers was already one step ahead of them all, that Peepers somehow knew Jesse had pieced together the carnage at Gino Fish's office, the vandalism in Paradise, and the murders in Salem. Or maybe Hunsicker's head of security wasn't as slick as he believed himself to be. The fact was that Peepers had lived one step ahead of everyone for many years. Jesse really had no way of knowing if he was right about Peepers. It was guesswork. Educated guesswork, but guesswork nonetheless. Jesse was still staring at the calendar when his phone buzzed. He pulled the phone out of his pocket and was confused to see it was Suit calling.
"Aren't you on patrol?" Jesse asked.
"You saw me head out an hour ago."
"Then why are you calling me on the phone?"
"I didn't want this on the radio, Jesse. I'm over on the 200 block of Lexington Road."
"Uh-huh.
I think you better get over here, quick. There's something you need to see."
Jesse hung up.
"Where are you headed, Jesse?"
Alicia asked as Jesse passed her. He didn't answer.
Less than 5 minutes later, Jesse and Suit were kneeling by the flat rear tire of a 2009 Honda Civic. It was obvious to anyone who looked at the tire what had caused the flat. There was about a dime-sized hole in the side wall of the tire, about 6 inches above the pavement.
"I was driving by when I noticed it. Do you think it's a coincidence, Jesse, or maybe a copycat?"
"I don't believe in coincidences."
"I know you don't. I guess I was just hoping."
Jesse reached across and put his hand on Suit's shoulder. "I understand. Let's get someone over here to dig the slug out. Use your cell phone. I don't want this on the police radio in case he's using a scanner."
"It's him, isn't it, Jesse? He's here, not in Texas."
Jesse shrugged.
Maybe. Or maybe that's what he wants us to think. He's playing with us. It's what he does.
Suit stood up and paced while Jesse looked to see if there were any differences he could spot between this blown-out tire and the others before it. When he turned to look up at Suit, he saw the fear in the big man's face.
Suit, come on, get Peter over here.
Jesse listened carefully to Suit's voice as he spoke to Perkins. He didn't like what he heard. Suit kept clearing his throat as he spoke, almost as if he was holding back tears. The fear in his officer's eyes, the pacing about, and the strain in his voice were all bad signs. It was the thing Jesse had worried about since Suit had returned to duty after he'd been shot by Peepers. Jesse couldn't afford to give Suit time off, not with leaving for Jen's wedding, nor could he afford to have Suit fall apart on duty.
Suit, are you all right? Jesse asked, standing to face him.
Sure, Jesse.
His answer was firm, too firm. Everyone in your family's moved out of town, right? Your mom's down in Florida?
Suit nodded, plunging his hand into his pocket to feel for the engagement ring he'd moved from one pair of uniform pants to the other for weeks. After the day he was called back to the station, he hadn't been able to muster up the nerve to propose. At least that's what he told himself, but now he knew the truth. He knew that as long as he was a target and Peepers was out there, Elena was in terrible danger. He couldn't let anything happen to her, not on his account. His hand found the ring at the bottom of his pocket.
Suit, Suit, what's up? Are you listening to me?
Sorry, Jesse. Yeah, you're right, he said, running the ridges of his fingertip along a facet of the perfect cut diamond. My family's safe. I've only got to watch out for myself.
Luther, if you can't handle this, I'll understand, but you need to tell me the truth.
Suit laughed almost involuntarily.
Luther, you never call me Luther.
I'll be fine, I swear. I know how to handle this.
Before the discussion went any further, Peter Perkins rolled up in his cruiser. Never in the history of the Paradise PD had a flat tire received the attention of the chief and two senior officers.